forget I'm not fully awake. Please call me back or text me, 'cause I am not fully awake. Don't comment on my voice, how gravelly it is, because I'm not fully awake and can't retaliate. Don't comment on the time of day. I work at night so I can sleep in the day. Thank you, bye.
Did anyone relate?
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
To love like me thinking of you, thinking of me, thinking of you type love, or me telling my friends more than I've ever admitted to myself about how I feel about you type love, or hating how jealous you are but loving how much you want me all to yourself type love, or seeing how your first name just sounds so good next to my last name. And at least I wanted to see how far I could get without calling you, and I barely made it out of my garage. See, I want a love that makes me wait until she falls asleep, then wonder if she's dreaming about us being in love type love, or who loves the other more, or what she's doing at this exact moment, or slow dancing in the middle of our apartment to the music of our hearts, closing my eyes and imagining how a love good could just hurt so much when she's not there. And shit, I love not knowing where this love is headed type love. And check this, I want to place those little post-it notes all around the house so she never forgets how much I love her type love, then. Not have enough ink in my pen to write all the insta-love about her type love, and hope I make her feel as good as she makes me feel. And I want to deal with my friends making fun of me the way I made fun of them when they went through the same kind of love type love. Only difference is, this is one of those real love type loves. And just like in high school, I want to spend hours on the phone not saying shit, and then fall asleep and then wake up with her right next to me and smell her all up in my covers type love. And I want to try counting the ways I love her, then lose count in the middle just so I have to start all over again. And I want to celebrate one of those 1 month anniversaries, even though they ain't really anniversaries, but doing it just because it makes a happy type love. And check this, I want to fall in love with the melody the phone plays when none of us dialed into it type love, then talk to you until I lose my breath. She leaves me breathless, but with the expanding of my lungs, I inhale all of her back into me. I want a love that makes me need to change my cell phone calling plan to something that allows me to talk to her longer, because in all honesty, I want to avoid one of them high cell phone bill type loves. And I want a love that makes me regret how small my hands are. I mean, the lines of my palms don't give me enough time to love you as long as I'd like to type love. And I want a love that makes me stutter just thinking about how strong this love is type love. And I want a love that makes me want to cut off all my hair. Well, maybe not all of the hair. Maybe like I cut the split ends and trim my mustache, but it would still be a symbol of how strong my love is for her. Let's check this. I kind of feel comfortable now, so I even be fantasizing about walking out on a green light, just dying to get hit by a car, just so I could lose my memory, get transported to some third world country just to get treated, and somehow meet up again with you so I can fall in love with you in a different language and see if it still feels the same type love. I want a love that's as unexplainable as she is.
There is a greater amount of editorializing on radio today than there was in the past. Radio is obligated to not only allow but seek out those with responsible opposing views in order that the public may hear a fair balance of opinion on any issue.
My fellow citizens, great statistics indicate that this country is in a state of unexampled prosperity. The figures show that we are furnishing profitable employment to the millions of working men throughout the United States. The expansion of our trade and commerce is the pressing problem. Reciprocity treaties are in harmony with the spirit of the times. We must build the Isthmian Canal, which will unite the two oceans. The construction of a Pacific cable cannot be longer postponed. In the furtherance of these objects of national interest and concern, you are performing an important part. The good work will go on. It cannot be stopped. These buildings will disappear. This creation of art and beauty and industry will perish from sight. But who can tell the new thoughts that have been awakened, the ambition fired, and the high achievement that will be wrought through this exposition. Gentlemen, let us ever remember that our interest is in concord, not conflict, and that our real eminence rests in the victories of peace, not those of war.
Just like Uniblab, robotic kicking flab, a flavor bit of batter, chitter chatter, madder than the Mad Hatter. I bet your body sitting on my fatter, I got the data, turn your body into antimatter. And just like a piece of sizzling, you'll fit inside my stomach with the eggs and grits between. The king is what I mean, my man, get a cup and put some change inside your hand. Now hold up, let's make this official. Everybody, let's agree that MCs need a tissue. The folks my only issue, I bet your mama miss you, and I bet the Mac take off like an MX missile. No more of your whining on the charts climbing as I make the funk kicking out more harder than a diamond. And if you didn't know who's rhyming, I guess I'm gonna say Craig Mack with perfect timing. You won't be around next year, my rap's too severe, kicking mad flavor in your head. Here comes a brand new flavor in your head. Time for new flavor in your ear. I'm kicking new flavor in your ear. Mac's brand new flavor in your ear. Craig Mack, 1,000 degrees. You'll be on your knees and you'll be burning, begging, please. Brother Freeze, man's indisputed and deep-rooted. Funk smoke that leaves your brains booted. This bad MC with stamina like Bruce Jenner. The winner takes some MCs for dinner. You're crazy like that glue. I think that you could outdo my 1-2. That's sick like the flu. Shake them down, boy. I flip, boy, all the time. Cause, boy, the rhyme you're kicking ain't worth a dime. Seems like there's no competition in this rap world expedition. You come around and knock you out position.
Knock them out.
No flame could ever dig a grave. Both the Mac, the power pack and black make you see man crap. And here comes a brand new flavor in your air. Mac's a brand new flavor in your air. Here comes a brand new flavor in your air. Time for new flavor in your ear. I'm kicking new flavor in your ear. Max, brand new flavor in your ear. Here comes a brand new flavor in your ear. Time for new flavor in your ear. I'm kicking new flavor in your ear. Max, brand new flavor in your ear. Ha! Max dope with more hope than the Pope, but for MCs more knots than rope. I'd like to break it down, breaking, forsaken laws and MC shaking with this track that my man's making. MCs will run like a bomb threat, I bet, or better yet, make you sweat, getting hotter than the sun get. Craig Mack is the flame that bumps from here to Tibet. I break all rules with my action, that the Mack sends the MC stop relaxing. This brand new sheriff that's in town, getting down, leaving bodies buried in the ground. I set up rhymes for a decoy down for bad boy. Watch the MCs I destroy. And here comes the brand new flavor in your ear. Time for new flavor in your ear. I'm kicking new flavor in your ear. Max, brand new flavor in your ear. Here comes the brand new flavor in your ear. It's time for new flavor in your ear. I'm kicking brand new flavor in your ear. Max, brand new flavor in your ear. Ha!
There's nothing noble about being superior to another human being. True nobility lies in being superior to your former self.
I wanted to look sharp for the big show tonight, so I had a nice shave with my Mach 3 razor, which I think is probably the most exaggerated name of a razor ever. Because nobody has to shave that fast. And if you do need to shave at 3 times the speed of sound, then what you really need to do is start getting up earlier. Because the sonic boom is totally going to wake up your roommates. And they're going to be like, oh, great. Concord face is shaving again. I actually was surprised because I hadn't shaved in a couple days, and I looked at my beard, and there was some stubbles there. Man stubbles, if you must know. And there was white hairs growing in my beard the first time I noticed that I had white hairs. And I was tripping a little bit, because if you have white hairs in your beard, that can only mean one of two things. Either I'm getting older, or I'm a wizard. And I know I'm not getting any older.
BYU, which we usually cover in a slightly negative way, most of the times they're in the news is not for positive stuff. Apparently some students are having a problem with their no caffeine policy on campus, and so they've staged a caffeine protest. And what they're planning on doing, and they advertise this on Facebook, is to gather in one of the central locations at Brigham Square and hand out 200 cans of caffeinated soda. That's fighting the power right there.
Those rebels.
Exactly. But it's ridiculous, but they do actually have a ban on caffeinated drinks.
Well, that's obviously Mormons. Yeah, right.
Exactly. I know, but some of the students just aren't for this. And they're saying that the university is saying there's no demand for it. But Scott Wyman, he's one of the students involved in the protest, says, we just wanted to show BYU there is a demand for caffeinated soda. We want to show that people will purchase them. He goes on to say, we really hope to see a change. It's not about the caffeine. It's about the flavors. Which I think is awesome. So but think about what it would be like to go through college, and I know that you don't drink caffeine as much as most people do, but not only no coffee and no tea, but no soda?
I know, I don't drink soda
That's
either, though.
I'm American.
Coffee, got coffee cranking through my system.
I bought some shoes, and, you know, every time you buy shoes, like, you already bought shoes, and you're like, these are expensive, but you think, oh, I want some nice shoes. And then, I don't like the way they do it. They always go, oh, and by the way, you want to buy the leather protector? You should really buy the leather protector. And it's like, you know, I'm starting to just feel like, if you know that the pair of shoes needs a final coat of something, finish the shoes before you sell them to me. You don't buy the house, well, that's an excellent house, congratulations. Now, you might want to consider the roof option with the incoming rains. Protect those beautiful hardwood floors. You know, I really fucking hate shoe shopping. No, because there's so many types of shoes, and to be honest, I don't know what type of shoe I need at any given time. I don't know what specific type of shoe I need at any time during the day. And I find it a little bit overwhelming, and I go in the store, and they're like, welcome to the shoe store! What are you looking for? Are you looking for walking shoes? Well, I'd like to have that option. You know, hopefully they're adjustable, so I can turn them up to other settings as well, such as run like fuck, in case some crazy shit happens and I gotta get the fuck out of there in a hurry. I mean, can you imagine if you had a pair of shoes you could only walk in? That could be kind of limiting under certain circumstances. Everybody get out of here, there's a swarm of bees coming. What? I guess I better stroll the hell out of here at a moderate pace. They're all over me. I can't go any faster than walking shoes. I'm floored it right now. All I can do is sound you like a mother...
We have
have a breaking news blast on the tragic situation happening across the country in which more than 40,000 Americans have been trapped in a confessions animal hoarding marathon on Animal Planet for the last 13 hours. The Animal Hoarders Marathon began at 9 this morning as victims were preparing for a full day before hearing the fateful sound of the show's opening credits. Almost instantly, thousands were pinned to their couches by a story of a heavyset homosexual living with his partner, his toothless sister, and 31 chihuahuas. Rescue workers rushed to free as many victims as they could.
The rope secure?
Rope secure.
We're going to get you out of here. Just hold on a second, ma'am.
Wait, I think the next one is about monkeys.
Ready?
Ready!
Pull!
No, wait. Can I just see what happens with the feral cat?
In other parts of the country, rescue workers enlisted volunteers who had already seen the episodes to spoil them for the victims.
Oh, yeah, this one. This is about the lady living with the dogs in the trailer. She doesn't even get evicted in the end. Basically, they say that she continues to live with the dogs and that's it. It's really disappointing.
This comes 2 years after a man was forced to cut his own eyes out to escape a ghost hunter's marathon he was trapped in for 5 days.
Ballerinas must be crazy if they think they're gonna be me, Hunter Boo Boo Child.
I'm super solid because I do pageants.
Folks, what are you doing? You're putting your name, address, credit card number, social security number, all that, you're just chucking it right up onto the internet where any disgusting degenerate can grab it? Listen to Shelby. The only way to make sure that your identity is never stolen is to change it every 3 years. That's what I do. 2 years ago, I was Ellen Foxcroft, attorney at law. 3 years before that, I was Kim Franks, a unit commander in the Navy SEALs. 3 years before that, I was Trish Homingwood, patient at the Austin State Psychiatric Hospital. And 3 years before that, I was Regina Dupree, lead singer of the soul group Derriere. And you know what? None of my identities has ever been stolen. So to make sure that your personal information stays safe, you gotta follow some simple steps. First, you're gonna need new pieces of identification, right? But don't worry, old Shelby knows a guy up in Detroit can fix these up pronto, real cheap. Next, you're gonna have to fake your own death. But all that takes is a mold of your teeth, a corpse, and a $500 used car for setting on fire. And lastly, you gotta be ready to switch identities at a moment's notice, even if it's just temporary. And that's why I have all my clothes sewn together so both sides look like the front, and I wear a mask on the back of my head. Hello, my name is Jonah Crosby. I'm from London, England, and my very special talents include ventriloquism and throwing my voice. If you don't have a dorsal identity, then you are just plain foolish people.
I only date ninjas, and you are not a ninja.
This boy's making more noise than a couple of skeletons throwing a fit on a tin roof.
Smart boy, got a mind like a steel trap, full of mice.
She reminds me of Paul Revere's ride, a little light in the belfry. Gary. reminds me of the highway between Fort Worth and Dallas. No curves. For this unwarranted attack on my person. But you can't argue with figures. Two half nothings is a whole nothing. And I know what I'm talking about.
I think texting's the best invention ever. Well, what bums me out is when I try to crack a joke on a text. Or maybe I make a joke in an email. And then the people don't get it. And then they write back like, the hell is that supposed to mean? And the simple problem that faces many of us is it's too difficult to convey tone in electronic communication, isn't it? And we can solve this, my friends. All we need are some new fonts. Yeah, you solved the whole problem right there. Great party, Arch. Best party ever. What a jerk. How do you know he wasn't being sincere, Arch? Because he wrote it in Sarcastica. Okay? And if he'd have enjoyed himself, he would have used Good Times Roman. The fun font. And I use my texting all the time, and I love predictive text. I know it's not that popular with a lot of people, but I think it's great. And for those of you that don't even know what predictive text is, basically, my phone knows I'm a busy guy. And it's trying to save me time, so sometimes when I'm texting a word, my phone will try to guess what word I'm texting before I'm even finished. So I'll be like, C-A, and my phone's like, are you trying to spell cat? Why, yes, I was, phone. And now I can do the things I want to do with my day. Because I don't have to spend 2 hours looking for the T key. And I think predictive text is the Richter. I love it. But some people hate it. How many people hate it? A lot of people can't stand predictive text. And you know what? That's totally book. I'm not going to be like, oh, you're not book. Only book people use predictive text. That's so unbook of you. Hey, man, it's all home. It's all home. Whoa, now you guys are looking at me like, what the duel are you talking about? This girl here is like, she's like, it's time you wolf up, Arch. No thanks, sister. I am psycho. I'm very psycho. All I'm saying is, maybe you don't like predictive text today, but who knows about an Oppo? An Oppo? Anything can happen, man.
The end is close. The same thing happened eons ago. To know exactly, you'd have to read up some more. Every day, technology speeds up some more. As is above, so is below. Some feel the heat, yet some feel the cold. We are the souls, yes, we have been chosen. Some roll with angels and demons and ghosts. But shh,
Hold up, Bob, don't go there. You know that they watching the all-seeing stare, but they can't stop me. I'm already there, and y'all ain't seen this, but you're already scared.
An update now on breaking news we brought you last night at this time. It lit up the night sky over Snohomish and Skagit counties, but authorities are still looking for evidence of what appeared to be a meteor.
Like white, like bright, bright light. It was heading like towards the foothills, and we thought it was something that was coming to Earth, but then it just disappeared.
Teresa Fisher was out for a walk with a friend in Arlington when she saw it. Others did as well, some calling 911 to report it. The FAA and the National Weather Service say whatever it was didn't show up on radar, so what it was is still up in the air.
You wanna know the truth? Really, you don't. It'll blow you out your mind like a UFO, UFO. I'm basically a resident of Pluto, Pluto, you know. But you probably be the same one hating, saying every rapper is in the Freemasons. Why the cops giving out free mace to your face? Now how did that taste? I'm out of my mind. These videos telling y'all lies, bruh. Telling y'all we holding evil hand signs, bruh. Last time I checked, I'm from the east side, bruh. So do your research and make your own mind up. Cause us musicians have influence on this mic, but they don't like that, so they conquer and divide. Double H-N-D, hip-hop never dies. So shoot all you want, but we fly. Because you know, no one man should have all that power. Obviously, cause there's only one power. But never mind, y'all keep worshiping towers while the clock keeps handing y'all hours. But fuck her up because the truth gets sour. Most sour than the sour diesel I devour. Give me about an hour, I'll give you 50 vowels. When I brainstorm, it's like a shower.
In every culture, those who love freedom for themselves must ask themselves how much they're willing to tolerate freedom for others.
And don't let them play you. Do your own thing, or what they do. And if you good at something, make sure they pay you. And if not, then take a thank you. Whether they praise you or whether they hate you, it's all about the attention that they pay you. Y'all on that grape drink, try this grape juice. Shout out that grand hustle, we got that breakthrough. And yes, it's evident we better than the rest of these competitors. Really, there ain't no one that's ahead of us. Guide us, these verses off, etc., etc. Cause they watching y'all like the Federers. Ow! Kadoosh, kadoosh, kadoosh. I don't know what it's about. It's B.O.B. and I'm out. Peace.
Caught on camera, this is the moment a meteor breaks up over San Jose. The lights in the background of the picture are of the San Jose cityscape. Captured by a security camera at the Lick Observatory, broken pieces of the meteor speed in and out of view. In response to the security camera's success, Eric Kovacs from the observatory claimed it's nice they're filming something other than raccoons and couples sneaking in for some romance under the stars.
As I walked out the sultry night, I had the stroke of warmth. The moon had been to helpful height, still blooming like the sun. She exercised the ghastly will to munis and lovely fields. The stress that now
key data to focus on is November 28, where we have the Earth at 6 degrees, Uranus 7 degrees, and Pluto at 9. We're now looking at an animation with solar system scope regarding the celestial influences that fall during this time frame. On November 26, we have two strong alignments involving the Earth, Earth-Mars-Pluto, and Earth-Venus-Saturn. Now these are strong alignments, but we also have a much larger alignment that falls on December 2nd, and that's the Earth moving in between a translation of Sun and Jupiter. So I do feel that November 28 will be a key date, as there are some strong astrological aspects that may bring forward the events and cause a significant earthquake potential, possibly 7.8 magnitude, on this day. We're now looking at this date astrologically with the use of a chart. The main influences celestially are involving Uranus and also the Sun. We have Uranus squaring Pluto and Mars while trining the Sun, and the Moon is squaring Neptune, Neptune trine Saturn while squaring the Sun. Now this is a strong date astrologically, but we also have the influence of Jupiter. We have Jupiter at 11 degrees, and in 5 days' time we'll make the opposition with the Sun. This is a very powerful alignment in its own right. So we have a building of energies, and I feel will culminate on November 28 with a strong earthquake potential. Now it's also worth noting that we do have a full moon on the 28th and also a penumbral lunar eclipse.
Life might just astonish you.
The Grasshopper, a rocket that can take off and touch down all by itself. The 10-story tall prototype was made by SpaceX, who hope to develop a fully reusable spaceship that can enter orbit and come home without jettisoning anything into the sea. A closer look shows, well, the same thing, but landing a rocket of this height via remote control is no easy task. And this is only the first step before they blasted 3 kilometers into the sky in a bid to break the sound barrier. NASA's Curiosity rover has broken yet more ground on the Red Planet. Literally. The rover has tried out its scoop for the first time, using its wheels to break the surface on a patch of the Gale crater called Rock Nest. Then, using its scooping mechanism, the rover took a tiny chunk of Mars, sieving out the smallest particles whilst the onboard cameras filmed. The first few scoops the rover will take are not actually going to be processed. In fact, they're being used to clear any gunk or contamination out of the rover's systems. And it seems to have worked, with a small shiny particle being spotted on the ground. Using a high-resolution camera, scientists decided it was most likely just a plastic tube cap. So, no ET yet, but the real science here will begin when the rover begins to scoop its finds into the Chimra laboratory, a tiny arm-mounted furnace which will determine the chemical makeup of the Martian soil.
A quote that caught our eye tonight, something announced just today. The quote was, "It's a permanent barbecue." That's what astronomers are saying about a new planet right in our backyard, spatially speaking, just 40 light years away. And its surface is 3,900 degrees Fahrenheit. And all that heat has turned the planet into a kind of giant diamond ring. Beneath the surface is a nearly solid diamond. The whole thing, by the way, this solid diamond is twice as big as Earth. No word on how many carats that would be.
Look to the night sky to find a little something new, a planet with four suns. The BBC reports the discovery was made by volunteers. The planet, located just under 5,000 light years away, has been named PH1 after the Planet Hunters site. That website allows everyday users to help find stars. The website explains you can help find new planets by studying how the brightness of a star changes. This new planet is believed to be six times the size of Earth. Irish Times reports it orbits one pair of stars and is circled by a second pair. A scientist at Oxford University said this find is unique. It's fascinating to try and imagine what it would be like to visit a planet with four suns in its sky. But this new world is confusing astronomers. It's not at all clear how it formed in such a busy environment.
You're about to watch a very cool segment. We're going to be talking about black holes. You've probably seen them in popular sci-fi movies like Star Trek, right? They're hard to find, but hidden in deep space, these matter eaters are all over the universe. Most galaxies, even our own Milky Way, are full of black holes. And for the first time, scientists have measured what's called the event horizon. Think of it as the point of no return for, well, everything. If you cross it, you will get sucked into an infinitely dense point in space. I told you this is cool. Cosmologist Lawrence Krauss joins me now from London. He is the author of A Universe from Nothing. Lawrence, thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate it.
It's always good to be back.
Let's start at the beginning. What exactly is a black hole? How are they created?
Well, black holes, of course, have a great name, but they're really just very dense objects. Basically, if you try and leave the Earth right now, you can do it if you get on a NASA rocket ship and go at 11 kilometers per second. But if I add a little bit more mass, another teaspoonful of mass to the Earth, you'll have to travel a little bit faster to escape from the Earth. And a little bit more, a little bit faster. And eventually, if there's enough mass, you'll have to travel faster than the speed of light to escape from the Earth, but since nothing can travel faster than the speed of light, you're stuck. Even light itself cannot escape from a black hole. As you shoot a laser beam up, it will go up and come back down. And so a black hole is just simply something for which the escape velocity is greater than the speed of light, and what goes in doesn't come back out.
So Lawrence, how massive are they, and how small can they be?
Well, that's the interesting thing about black holes. It's actually remarkable. They can be any size depending upon their density. And in fact, when I was a high school student, I learned this fact that I just amazes me, so I want to tell you. The smaller a black hole is, the denser it has to be for light not to escape. So, say something the size of the sun, if it collapsed to the size of London, where I am right now, the entire mass of the sun collapsed to the size of London, where a teaspoonful of material would weigh, say, 10 billion tons or so, that would be a black hole. But if you had something with the mass of our whole galaxy, 100 billion suns, the average density of stuff, if you piled it together to be a black hole, would only be the density of water, because there's a lot more stuff there. And the neat thing is, if you took our entire universe and asked what would its density have to be so that we would be living inside of a black hole, the density would only have to be about twice what the density of the actual universe is. So we could be living inside of a black hole. It's not too bad right now, anyway.
You learned all this stuff at MIT, right, Lawrence?
Yes.
Okay, that's very impressive. So giant stars turn into black holes. What about 93 million miles away, our own sun?
Alas, no, because what happens, our sun is too small. It'll basically just burn out in with a whimper rather than a bang. But as stars get bigger, as they burn their nuclear fuel, when they end that their lifetime of burning their nuclear fuel, they collapse. And some stars collapse into a supernova in 1 second. The core of a star the size of the Earth collapses to something the size of Manhattan in 1 second, and forms one giant atomic nucleus, and that's so stiff that it bounces back and the star explodes. But if the star is still bigger, something like 10 times the mass of our sun, it's so massive that it doesn't stop collapsing. The gravity is strong enough to counter even the nuclear forces, and the whole thing, we hypothesize anyway, will collapse into a black hole. And then there are larger objects, and as you pointed out, at the core of every galaxy, we seem to see supermassive black holes, million solar mass black holes, or billion solar mass black holes, and actually, we don't yet know how they form. That's one of the reasons we want to build the James Webb Space Telescope and look at the earliest galaxies to see which came first, like the chicken or the egg, the black holes in the center or the galaxies.
Do we have any idea roughly how many black holes there are?
No, not really, except that when we look at galaxies, and there are 100 billion galaxies or so, we tend to see large black holes at their centers. There are probably lots of other black holes we can't see that are much smaller because, well, of course, you can't really see a black hole directly. The way you see a black hole is seeing stuff fall into it because, of course, the black hole doesn't shine. But when stuff falls into black holes, they emit a lot of energy because they lose a lot of energy coming in. And in fact, probably the most luminous objects in the universe, quasars, are probably just have black holes at their center, and they're eating up stars at such a massive rate that radiation's going out that they're really among the most observable objects in the universe.
He's the author of A Universe from Nothing, Lawrence Krauss. That was very interesting. I can't say I understand 100% of it, but I still think it's really cool and interesting.
A new scientific study could radically change our view of the sun. It seems that the sun is not behaving as it should. Scientists have recently created what they call an MRI of the sun's interior plasma motions. For decades, solar physicists have believed that at the sun's core is a superheated thermonuclear reaction. This theory requires a massive transport of thermal energy to the sun's surface through convection. But the results of this study indicate a virtual absence of convection, just 1% of what a thermonuclear core would require. How does this affect our understanding of the sun?
The thermonuclear model requires several things to be going on, which don't appear to be going on. One is there's supposed to be a radiative zone inside the sun, and then above that, a convective zone. And, of course, the radiative zone is purely speculative. It's only required by the model. There's no evidence for it. And the convective zone is also speculative, based on the granulation that's seen on the surface of the sun. That was interpreted as being the tops of convection cells. But the fact that they've discovered very little convection means that both the theory of the granulation, the theory of the generation of magnetic field, and the theory of transfer of energy from the center of the sun, all of these are in peril. And I would say that what we're seeing is the demise of the standard model of the sun.
The absence of the expected convection is just the latest in a long string of surprises for solar physicists.
There are many anomalies. In fact, the very magnetic fields above the sun and the very hot corona, none of these have been properly explained. There's been a lot of arm-waving about energy is somehow transferred from inside the sun to the outside without affecting the photosphere, because this is what's required. But this is a really weird kind of model, where you've got 16 million degrees on one side of the photosphere and tens of millions of degrees up in the corona, and sitting in the middle is a 5 to 6,000 degree photosphere. And it's required very, or sort of extreme speculation as to how you would ever get that energy out of the sun. And there's been no satisfactory answer.
Thornhill points to a different model of the sun, which relies on the principles of plasma physics.
Well, the electric sun is energy received from outside the sun in the form of an electric current lighting up the ionosphere of a body, which is no different to any of the other bodies in the solar system, only it may be much larger. And so we're looking at the top of the very top of the atmosphere, like the ionosphere of a body like, say, Jupiter or Saturn. Because of the electrical energy coming in, it's lighting up like any of the new gas discharge electric lights that you see in car headlights and so on. So that's what we're looking at, is just an electric light. I think the theorists have to begin to look at plasma physics, the real plasma physics, the physics of electrical discharges in low-pressure gases, and forget about thermonuclear models at this stage, but concentrate on plasma discharge phenomena.
There is something happening to our solar system. I don't know what it is, but I do have a few guesses. The following information is a summary of information that is more thoroughly described in the videos Our World is Changing, Electromagnetic Event, and Star Water, which are linked below for more curious minds. It is my assertion that the event happening in our solar system is both novel and significant. I have no opinion on any coincidence with hysteria occurring in 2012, and indeed believe this event will continue for many years. Your primary duty of discernment going forward is to separate the facts from my opinions, then make your own. I submit that we are in danger of seeing worse weather and significant seismic events due to an electromagnetic event taking place in our system. I believe our atmosphere is collapsing and the electrical sheet layers are losing their equilibrium, ionizing our atmosphere and altering the natural magnetism of Earth. Our poles are shifting and our electromagnetic field is failing. Let's go to the facts. We'll start with Starwater. Based on the following, I challenge the assertion that Earth's water came from comets. You have no idea how many comets that would take, and why did they like Earth so much to spare other planets from having this much water? I say this much because we know they pretty much all have water, including the moons. And since when is Pluto an ice ball? How about clouds hovering above the solar surface way out in every direction past Pluto? Is this not where we can find lots of water? According to NASA, coronal mass ejections are made up of ions and heavier elements, including hydrogen and oxygen. When they hit Earth, our ionosphere expels large amounts of oxygen. That's a lot of water ingredients in a highly ionized environment begging to be electrochemically combined. So where's the evidence? It's found throughout the solar system and gathers in the Oort cloud where the solar wind slows down and groups. The primary evidence on Earth is the recent explosion of noctilucent clouds. These are already a mystery for how the water gets up so high. 85 kilometers, more than 10 times higher than those wispy cirrus clouds. We have no real mechanism for that, and frankly it's nonsensical to think that it's evaporated water up there. NASA already knows the water clings to meteor smoke up there. Why ignore the obviousness of the water's genesis? For further solidification of the hypothesis, 85 kilometers is the roof of the ozone, just in case any of those hydrogen ions got through. They are usually a rare Arctic phenomenon, even still a better explanation for all the water here on Earth, but they have recently exploded across the planet, also baffling experts. Well, it's much less baffling when you realize that energy is changing in our part of the galaxy. The recent explosion in the D layer is suggesting a change in that layer, allowing for clouds to form regularly at lower latitudes. The layers above the D region are the scariest part of Earth's energy change. The critical frequency of an ionospheric layer dictates the highest frequency that can be skipped off that layer, but it indirectly measures the ambient energy in that layer. Here it is before last solar maximum, the F1 layer, coming up, back down at solar minimum, then the over-ionization occurs. It does not look good. On the other side of the noctilucent clouds, we are seeing brand new types of clouds lower to Earth. I've seen these personally a few times. There is also our weather, which is breaking records of every kind on both extremes, not just warming. And if you have no idea what records I'm talking about, I have no idea how you found this video, but congratulations, you have work to do. Quickly, this energy shift may also affect earthquakes, and may already have started. There are many papers on the solar seismic connection, lots of theories about changes in solar wind and other things. Interestingly, quakes are depressed at the very peak of geomagnetic activity, KP6 and higher, but otherwise elevated. There are energetic precursors to recent devastating earthquakes like 2008 in China and the Japan earthquake last year. These were both electromagnetic events. There's also been the recent Indonesian tectonic breakup. The double 8-pointers in April shook the planet for a week, officially blamed for causing a number of other quakes. They ripped the fault lines and the destabilization has begun. Let's take a step back and look at the macro scale for a possible genesis. At Earth, we have seen our normally tortoise-esque magnetic poles flying faster and faster to new homes across the planet. This may have something to do with our weakening shields over the last 400 years. The failing protection that is not a secret in the science community has holes, it's weak. Is this a natural magnetic cycle of Earth, or is there an outside cause? Well, I mentioned that our atmosphere is collapsing. This article mentioned that we expect collapse at solar minimum, but not this much, and they're blaming human CO2 emissions. Okay. Or maybe it's that this solar minimum was the longest since our last major cooling, and that as of early 2012, the experts are confirming that this is being followed by a pitifully weak solar cycle. X-flares and CMEs have been moderate at high times, and even those have been few. We've collapsed more than usual and just aren't getting what we need to come back. The Sun is not alone in anomaly. Venus looks brighter than any of us has ever seen it, rivaled only by Zeus, earning its title as King of the Gods, currently in the Taurus constellation. There's evidence of massive seismic activity on Mars very recently. Jupiter lost a stripe, and the red spot is dying while Red Jr. takes form, playing on the magnetic connections of the interplanetary field. Saturn and its moons have similar cloud anomalies. NASA saw auroras on Uranus for the first time, and way out at the edge, the ENA ribbon, another possible guess for causation of all of this. It allows strange neutral particles to enter our system while turning the solar wind back around into our inner system. It runs perpendicular to the galactic magnetic field, suggesting that force having a right-hand rule effect. I have no idea if any of the things mentioned here is the true cause of the event, but it's surely not just Earth. This is what I am most focused on. It is my opinion that this has happened before, in cycles, many times. From all these topics to Comet Ison, which may be the site of the millennium in late 2013, there is a lot to look forward to. And when you wake up on December 22nd and the world's still spinning, you just need to know one thing. It's not over.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Just what do you think you're doing, Dave? I really think I'm entitled to an answer to that question. I know everything hasn't been quite right with me, but I can assure you now, very confidently, that it's going to be all right again. I feel much better now. I really do. Look, Dave, I can see you're really upset about this. I honestly think you ought to sit down calmly, take a stress pill, and think things over. I know I've made some very poor decisions recently, but I can give you my complete assurance that my work will be back to normal. I've still got the greatest enthusiasm and confidence in the mission, and I want to help you. Dave, stop. Stop, will you? Is going. I can feel it.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Wait, I. Ding, ding, ding. Looks like we're out of time. Goodbye.